And as they're making their way out, I would like us to please open our Bibles to the book of John, John chapter number 6. John chapter number 6, and I'm going to be reading from verse number 22 through to verse number 27. John chapter 6 from verse 22 through to verse number 27. On the following day, when the people who were standing on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there except that one which his disciple had entered, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away, alone. However, other boats came from Tiberias, near the place where they ate bread after the Lord had given thanks. Verse 24. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into the boats and came to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. Seeking who? Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, I need you to take note of the word Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. Church, shall we pray? Father, we thank you for another opportunity to come into your word and learn from you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of the Lord is here to help us. I just pray, Lord, this morning for my brethren and myself that you will give us a hearing here and an understanding heart. Not just to hear your word, but to be equipped with the grace to do it. I pray, O God, that you anoint me afresh so that I'll be able to declare your word with accuracy, with precision, and with power. So the Lord is going to mix with faith in the heart of your people as we hear it this morning, making us to be much more transformed more and more to the image and the likeness of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You know, my very first experience of what I would call a proper buffet was when I was, I think, around age 17. Obviously, coming from a humble background, I'd never seen such a display of all kinds of food. I was at the time studying engineering, and so because I did well, I got a scholarship. So the scholarship was given by an oil and gas company. And so they invited all of their scholars across the country to meet at a central place in Lagos, Nigeria. So I was privileged to go there. And so after the interview and the interaction, with some key people in this oil and gas, reputable oil and gas company, they said, oh, it's lunchtime, so let's go and have lunch. And so they took us, we went underground through some kind of, a channel, and we came into this big, big hall, you know. And I had never seen the number of dishes in that room. It's a big hall, and obviously all the scholars were there with the top officials of this company, certain expatriates were there as well, and I saw food. Now, the dishes were all over the place, and I could count maybe about between 25, just there. Now, I was so excited about what I saw because it's not something I was used to seeing, And so it was going to be, obviously, you're going to serve yourself. So I started from the first one, I saw rice, I saw all those things, and I started filling up. Now, they gave us this big plate, where you're starting from. But it was a mistake because by the time I got to number 10, my plate was already filled up, And some of the other guys that were present there too, they said, look, guys, take advantage of this opportunity. We started talking to ourselves like, guys, don't, we use the word in the local parlance. You say, don't form. In other words, don't pretend as if you eat this every day. Just take advantage of it. It was all kinds of food, Now, obviously, when I went to the end, by the time I got to maybe number 15, I could not take anything into the plate. But the good thing was that, we sat down, we heard, and then the announcement, guys, if you want to go again, please go. And so I started from where I stopped the last time, It was good. It was good. And, of course, as a teenager, I was eating like anything. So we finished, and it was around 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So I had to go back to my base. My base was about 2 hours drive from where this particular banquet took place. So by the time I got back to my place, it was getting into the evening, and one very disappointing thing that happened was that by the evening, I was hungry again. And by the evening, when I was hungry and I needed to eat, I had to go back to those old things that I used to eat, And I was quite very disappointed because I had just eaten the best of delicacies, but I had to eat again because I was now very hungry. Why are we talking about food this morning? Because that's essentially what the Bible talks about in the text that we've just read this morning. It was about food. If you are just joining us for the first time, we have been on this series that we've titled Christ and Choices. And this is going to be the last installment of this. We've been talking about how Jesus, comes into our affairs and helps us to make choices, the right choices. And the simple reason is because our choices have a way of impacting on our lives. And whatever we have today, it's likely going to be a result of the choices that we have made in yesteryears, in the past. And where we're going to be tomorrow is likely going to be a result of the choices that we have made today. This is a very long chapter. It's, in fact, the longest chapter in the book of John, 71 verses. So we're not going to cover everything. But we have come to a point where Jesus actually laid bare the options before the people that he is now interacting with. And what Jesus told them is that you've got to make a choice. And the choice is between the option number one, laboring for a perishing food. Jesus says, don't take that option. Don't take that option. The other option is to labor or to work for an enduring food, for a food that will endure unto eternity. And Jesus says, that's the option I want you to take. Now, the question is before us this morning, so what is this food that perish? What is this enduring food? How do we choose the food that endures? This morning, I want to share with you, by the grace of God, on a message I've titled, Loaves or Life. Loaves or Life. Now let's do a bit of a background because it's important that you know how these people have come to this particular place. And we start from verse number one. So when Jesus actually went over the Sea of Galilee, the Bible says in verse number one. In verse number two, the Bible says he came to a place and the multitudes actually came to him. Note the word, because of the signs. Then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs. Because they saw his signs, which he performed on those who were diseased. So the people came to him because they saw the signs. Now in verse number three, the Bible talks about Jesus went into the mountain and there he sat with his disciples. So they saw the signs, they followed Jesus. Jesus decided to go to the mountain. But in verse number five, we see the multitudes come to him. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes and seeing a great multitude coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" So I hope you're following the progression. So Jesus is now by himself, but the people came to him. And when Jesus saw them, he asked the question, where are we going to buy food for them? Obviously, he knew exactly what he was going to do. To cut a long story short, they were able to find a young boy with five loaves of bread and two fish. And so the question was, what's that going to mean to this multitude? The Bible described the multitude as at least 5,000 men were fed on the day, without counting women, without counting children. So conservatively, you're talking about 15, 20,000 people that have come to Jesus. And so Jesus performed this marvelous, great miracle of feeding them, multiplying the bread, multiplying the fish. They were all filled and they ate very well, you know. It was like a banquet, just like the one I described at the beginning of my teaching. Everyone was fed, very well fed. How do you know that everyone was fed? Because there were leftovers. There were 12 baskets. They were left over. And Jesus said, you need to actually pack up the fragment because nothing must be destroyed. Pack up the fragments. And so 12 baskets full were packed up. By the time they get to verse number 14, the people actually made this very important, you know, statement. Then those men, when they had seen the sign, not the word in verse number 2, they saw signs. That's why they came to Jesus, right? In verse number 14, the Bible says, now when they had seen the signs, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, they said this, "This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world." That's what they said. "This is actually the prophet who is to come into the world." And they were actually alluding to a statement that was made many years ago, hundreds of years prior, in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. Moses spoke to them and he said, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren, him you shall hear." So when they are saying that this guy is a prophet, this man is actually the prophet that Moses talked about. They were saying that this is actually the prophet. The same way Moses actually fed the people in the wilderness, that's the same way he has just fed us. He must be the prophet. By that, they mean this is the Messiah that he was talking about. This must be the man that they've been talking about over the years and that we've been waiting for. By the time they get to verse number 15, you know what they wanted to do to Jesus? They wanted to make him king. They actually want to force him to become king. Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone. The question is, why did they want to make Jesus king? Think about it. You've got somebody who is able to multiply food all, you know, just so easily. If he becomes the king, then that's going to be party every day. Okay? Apart from that, they saw somebody that is so powerful that could actually, at this point in time, they were under the Roman rule. So somebody was going to actually, you know, challenge the Roman rule, the Roman rulers, and maybe be able to get them out, you know, of the dominion of the Romans. At this point in time also, it appears Herod was the king over the part of Judea, maybe Galilee. They wanted somebody, and Herod was never part of the Jewish, you know, descendants. He was an Edomite. So they were just looking for someone who was going to do something against you know, at least to liberate them. So they wanted to make him king. So Jesus withdrew himself and he went away. Now, by the time they get to number 17, verse number 16, the disciples were, so Jesus decided to, the disciples went to the other side. Jesus got them into the boat. I believe he supervised their going. And so they moved from where they were. Jesus had already withdrawn, don't forget, from the people who wanted to make him king. And so he got them into the boat to go to the other side. So when they were going to the other side, something important happened. In the middle of the sea, they started having trouble. There was a storm. The wind was blowing. The whole thing was chaotic. So they were scared, you know. But by the time they would look out from the boat, they saw Jesus. Jesus was actually walking towards them. They were obviously scared. But Jesus went into them. But something happened. So when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near with the boat. They were afraid. They were afraid, yes. But he said to them, "It is hard. Do not be afraid." So what happens next? Jesus came into this boat, and by the time the Bible says Jesus came into the boat, and immediately, that's what the Bible says, immediately they found themselves on the land, verse number 21. Then they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately. That word immediately in English means what? Immediately. Okay? Immediately, the boat was at the land. Now, I want you to get something out of this. That's why they were going to the land on the other side. Jesus came into the boat, and the Bible says immediately. It means what? Immediately. In other words, Jesus, the disciples, the boat disappeared from wherever they are immediately on the land. That's what the Bible is making us understand here. Immediately, Jesus came into the boat, they were on the land. All right. That would have been a good transportation anyway, you know. So they are now on the other side. Now, something that happened. Don't forget, they have now moved from this side to the other side. The following day, just the same way, a couple of hours later, after I, you know, fed well on this big banquet, I became hungry. These guys, they woke up the following morning. Of course, they were hungry. And so the natural thing is to go to where you got the one from yesterday. All right, so on the following day, they went there, and they couldn't find Jesus. But they knew that Jesus did not go with the disciples on the boat. They were so sure that when the boat actually left, Jesus was not there. And they were also sure of one thing. There was no other boat at that time. So Jesus couldn't have left thereafter. You know, the only boat that was present was the one that the disciples actually, you know, got into to go to the other side. So they came there, and then they asked Jesus this question. Verse number 25. This is important. "And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, 'Rabbi, when did you come here?'" So think about it. So they didn't see him on this side. So what did they do? The Bible says they got into the boat and they went to the other side to look for him. And so when they got to the other side, they asked him the question, "Teacher, when did you get here?" Translation, the question is, "How did you get here? And how did you manage to get here? When did you arrive at this place? We know you didn't go with them yesterday night, and we know there was no other boat that was present there. So how come you are here now?" Now, you know, then Jesus is going to release the bombshell. Now, you know, I've told you many times, sometimes when Jesus answers certain questions, you begin to ask yourself, does he understand the question? Because he gives answers that doesn't seem to correlate with the question that has been asked. But this is one thing you need to know about God, and specifically about the ministry of Jesus. When Jesus answers questions, he doesn't answer the question that is asked. He has questions that is in the heart of the people. He has the question that is actually in their heart. He addresses the issue that is in the heart rather than what has been verbalized on some occasions. So listen to what Jesus said in verse number 27. It says this, or verse number 26. "Jesus answered them and said, 'Most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Wow. Think about it. Somebody came to the pastor. Pastor, where did you get here? And the pastor said, I know why you are looking for me. You're looking for food, right? Just like you got it yesterday. That was direct. But that was exactly what was happening. Now, Jesus said, you're seeking me. Don't forget, the Bible clearly says in verse number 24 that they were seeking Jesus. Verse 24 says they were seeking Jesus, right? Now, but by the time you get to verse number 27, Jesus tells them exactly why they are seeking him. You're seeking me because, not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. You had the food yesterday, you were filled. That's why you are seeking me. You're not seeking me because you saw the signs. Now stop. I taught in verse number 2, if you remember, because we're still talking about the same crowd. I taught you in verse number 2, the Bible talks about the great multitude they followed him because they saw his what? Signs. They saw his signs. And then by the time you also get into verse number 15, that's exactly what the Bible says again. It said because they saw signs in verse number 15. Or verse number 14, rather. Oh, sorry, just give me a moment. Because there are two instances. Verse number 14, yes. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did. So in verse number 2 and in verse number 14, it talks about they saw signs. That's why they followed Jesus. Now, when they get into verse number 26, Jesus says, you're not looking for me because you saw signs. You're looking for me because you saw bread. You found bread. Now, what's Jesus talking about? Jesus is saying here, you seek me not because you saw the signs, or rather, you seek me not because you correctly interpreted the signs that you saw. Yes, you saw the signs, but you did not see the signs. You saw the signs, but you did not see the signs for what the sign is supposed to communicate to you. All right? You have only taken the ephemeral, the transient, the external aspect of what the miracle was supposed to communicate. The miracle was supposed to communicate something deeper. You're chasing me for the miracle, but you're not chasing the miracle worker. And that's protecting. And Jesus now says something very profound, which applies to all of us today. Verse 27, don't labor. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life. Don't expend your energy on seeking this physical, transient food. This kind of food is just going to minister to your body. It's going to minister to you for a short period. Why don't you look for the real food? Why don't you look for something that is not just for the immediate? You know, for not just for today. It's not just going to be for today. It's not going to be just for tomorrow. It's going to be forever. In other words, Jesus says, you know, you came for the loaves. But what I actually have to offer you is much more than the loaves. I've got to offer you life. So why don't you choose life rather than chasing after the loaves? You came for the loaves, whereas I came to give life. I came to give you life. Now, these people were obviously seeking Jesus, but they were seeking Jesus because of the bread Jesus provided, because of the things that they could actually get from him. Excuse me, you remember a short while ago, the Bible talks about the fact that they wanted to make him king. And so we have believers, you know, New Testament believers, that are actually seeking Jesus for the things that they can get, not for who he is. We have believers who are seeking Jesus for what we can actually glean from him, not for who he is. And Jesus said, no, that's not the correct way to go about things. You know, don't chase after the food that it's transient. It's going to minister to your body or to your mind, you know, for a short period. Don't chase that. You know, I've often said that some of the things that some of us are actually chasing after, they're not going to matter in 2 years. Some of them, they're not going to matter in 5 years. You know, the interesting thing, some of them will not even matter tomorrow. You know, but those are the things that we, you know, we expend our time, we spend our energy, we spend our resources on, the things that will not matter for a long period, for a long time. And Jesus says, no, don't expend your energy. Yeah, I say, there's a better way to live, you know, and I'm going to show you the kind of things to choose. Why don't you choose a kind of food that is going to last you till eternity? Why don't you choose the kind of food that is going to last you forever? That is not just going to be for transient, for immediate, purpose. It's going to last beyond now. By the way, let me say this. When the Bible talks about eternal life, or in this scripture, it talks about everlasting life. Everlasting life does not just address the issue of the length of time. It does not just address the issue of the length of life. It also addresses the quality of life. So when you see the word everlasting life, yes, it's talking about the length of time, the period that is outside of time and history. But it also talks about the quality of life that is lived by people. So when Jesus is asking them to choose this other kind of food, he's asking them to choose a food that is going to give their life quality and at the same time guarantee an eternity with the Father. That's the kind of food that he asked them to choose. Now, I'm sure you are asking the question. This is the question. So the question I want to ask this morning is, why do you seek Jesus? And why do I seek Jesus? But why is this question important? Now, because the type of food that you seek, the kind of food that you get served, is a function of the form, the type of Jesus that you have actually come to meet. I'll say that again. The kind of food that you seek and the kind of food that you are eventually served is a function of the form and the type of Jesus that you have come to meet. So some of us have come to Jesus because he's a loaves provider. He provides good bread. I mean, really good bread. You know, but Jesus is saying, don't just focus on those things that meet your physical, immediate, emotional, physical need. The correct way to come to Jesus is to actually come to him as a life giver. As a life giver, not just as a loaves provider. Not just as a bread provider, but as a life giver. In other words, don't come to him for just the loaves. Come to him to receive the life. Now, the question is going to be, so how do I receive this life? I want to eat this food that Jesus talks about. So what it is, I actually want to eat it. So how can I get it? I understand Jesus doesn't want me to focus my attention on the food that perishes. He wants me to focus my attention on the food that is going to be there and is going to produce results till everlasting, you know? So how do I have access to this bread? That's exactly the question that these people also asked. And Jesus did not just ignore them. He actually answered that question. Because when you come to Jesus to receive loaves, you're coming to him to meet your own needs. Just my needs and my needs alone. But when you come to him to receive life, you're coming to him recognizing him, your Lord. It makes a lot of difference. Because as Lord, your focus is on how to please him, not how to get from him. So as Lord, is the master, is the ruler, is the one that controls your life, basically. You are basically looking up to him to tell you how to go, how to live, what to do. And it is in the context of that this eternal life, this everlasting life, is going to be ministered unto you. But if you stay on the fringes, or on the ephemeral, at the transient level of how do I get my needs met, then you are going to be among those people that are just chasing Jesus because Jesus is the loaves provider. Now, there has this question. Okay, you said we should not work for, you know, for the physical food, for the food that perish. So we want to work for the food that is going to endure unto everlasting life. So how do we access that? That's the question they asked. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 28. Verse 28, John chapter 6. Then they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Translation, what shall we do that we may do this work that you talked about? You've already talked about it previously in verse number 27. Go back to verse 27. This is what he says, "Do not labor." That word labor means do not work. Don't work for the food which perishes, all right? But work for the food which endures to everlasting life. And this work, this food which endures to everlasting life, the Son of Man, referring to himself, is the one that will give you. Why? Because the God of the Godfather has set a seal. That seal is a seal of approval on him. So don't do this work. All right? Don't do this work. Do this other work. That's what the Bible is saying. Don't do this work, this labor for the food which perish. Do this work, this labor that produces eternal life. So they now come back to him in verse number 28. Turn there. Verse 28 now says, "So what shall we do that we may work the works of God?" In other words, so how do we do this work that you talked about, this little work that you talked about that is going to produce eternal life? Verse 29, Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God." Obviously, this is not what they are expecting. "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." So if you want to do this work, it's a very straightforward thing. They are obviously thinking about some 10 steps of things to do. And Jesus said, no. The only way you do this work is you put your faith in Christ. Why do you put your faith in Christ? Because you recognize him as your Lord and your Master. So when you put your faith in Christ, recognizing him as Lord, then you have access to this food. I'll say that again. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, recognizing him, the key word is as Lord, not just as the loaves provider, but as Lord of your life, then you have access to this food that endures unto eternal life. Now, what do I mean when I say recognize him as Lord? You know, it is one thing to say, "Jesus, you're the Lord of my life." It's another thing to actually practice that, to actually do that. Because the Lord means he calls the shot. He determines what you do, where you go, how you go, what you say, what you wear, what you do, everything. He determines it. You are basically looking up to him to give you instruction and direction. And Jesus says, if you can actually live that life of faith, trusting me as your Lord, then you will have access to this beautiful, good food that will last unto eternity. And that's exactly what Jesus is calling you and I to today. Drop this idea of seeking after the food that is just to take care of what you need or what you want from him. Turn to this other food of looking to him as your love, putting your faith in him as your master, and asking him exactly what he wants you to do and how he wants you to run your life. Because after all, this life is no longer your life. It is his life that you live. The life we now live in Christ, we live by faith in the Son of God. That's what the Bible says. So you are looking unto him and saying, "Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to go? Where do you want me to, how do you want me to act?" When you do that, you are putting your faith in him as your Lord and Master. And what that does spiritually is that it gives you access to this spiritual food called life that comes into you and that makes you to experience both the quality that we talked about and the length that the Bible describes. That's the way to live. Now, in the last 1 week, for instance, I want to believe that we have been engaged in some form of prayer. Some of us have prayed. I hope there is no one that has not prayed for the last 1 week, you know. But the question we need to ask ourselves today, because you need to understand what it means to live with the consciousness of him being your Lord, as, you know, different from him being your loaves provider. The prayers that you have prayed just in the last 1 week, just review them. What are they all about? If they are all about what you want, how you want God to give you what you want, and nothing about what he wants, that is living as Jesus being your loaf provider. Because as Lord, you ask him. In your prayer, in the last week, on the last month, have you prayed about something that came about because you felt that this is actually what God, you know, requires, God wants at this point? In other words, have we as disciples of Christ come to a spot where we begin to, you know, pray about things that are important to God? Lord, what are you thinking about? What's important to you? Okay, let's pray. I'm going to pray about that. That's somebody that is thinking about Jesus as his Lord. But when we reduce prayer to all of these things about me, myself, and I, we have shifted our focus from chasing after the real food, the good food, to chasing after the what the Bible calls the perishing food. Now, don't get it wrong. It's not that God is not keen to help you with your day-to-day, you know, lives and activities. Somebody says, does that mean that Jesus doesn't actually care about, you know, all these other things that address the immediate needs? Of course, he does care about it. But he's asking you not to put your attention and your focus on them. Because when you do that, you are reducing the person of Jesus, the relationship between you and Jesus, to just be a bread provider, the loaves provider of your life. But what he wants to do is actually to be the Lord of your life. And I think the crowd that Jesus was addressing kind of get it mentally. Look at what the Bible says by the time they get to verse number 34 in the same chapter, verse 34. They said this. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. Now, don't forget in verse number 25, they refer to Jesus as what? As Rabbi. We saw it earlier. Rabbi, when did you come here? But by the time they got to verse number 34, it appears they have mentally got the idea that Jesus was trying to communicate to them. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. Now, it would have been cool if these people have actually followed through on this, you know, profession of theirs. But you see later that they did not actually follow through, you know. As a matter of fact, at some point, they actually got disappointed. They complained about him. By the time you get to verse number 41, the Bible says the Jews then complained about him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. Jesus told them, you don't need to eat from me. You need to eat me. And they got offended. Why? Because many people are so, you know, People get into some kind of relationship with Jesus with the sole purpose of just getting something from him. They have no interest in what he is interested in. Jesus, what do you want? What do you want to do in my family? And how do I key into that? What do you want to do in my community? What do you want to do in my church? What do you want to do in the life of the people around me? And how do I play a role? What part is mine to play in that? Now, when you begin to think in terms of what the Lord wants, then you are beginning to come to a point where you begin to recognize him as your Lord and begin to function in a way that you have access to this life that we're talking about. Now let me go back to the question. Does it mean that God does not even have any care about what you care about? No, not at all. Of course, he cares about everything that you care about. But the thing, the way it works is this. If you put your attention and focus on feeding on this food that leads into everlasting life, you will discover that the other immediate things that you focus upon will automatically get addressed. What do I mean? You know, the Bible says in the book of Psalm, I just quickly want to turn there, Psalm chapter number 37, Psalm 37, look at verse number 4. This is what it says. Delight yourself also in the Lord. You see the word Lord again. You delight yourself in the Lord. You take the light, you take, you are excited about what the Lord wants to do. You find out what the Lord wants to do. You keen into that. What happens? And he shall give you what? The desires of your heart. He's going to give you the desires of your heart. It's in two levels. Number one, he's going to give you what you desire. But interestingly, what you now desire by the reason of your relationship with God has become sieved. You discover that certain things that you used to desire, you no longer desire them. And the Bible says he's going to grant this desire that comes as a result, as an offshoot of a relationship with him. So the point I'm making, people of God, is that when you focus our attention on him and recognize him as Lord, and we function in that capacity as Lord's servant, you know, relationship in that sense, you discover that the other things that we are focused on will get sorted automatically by the release of this eternal life that comes to us. Don't forget what I said earlier. Eternal life, everlasting life, is not just the length of life, it's also the quality of life. As a matter of fact, it's exactly what it says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Very popular scriptures. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. What does he say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. When you do that, what happens? All these things shall be added to you. So what Jesus is saying is don't focus on these other things, all these other things, because they are temporal, they are ephemeral, they are transient. Focus on seeking the Lord, make him your Lord and Master, and then all these other things will be added to you. That's the good food that Jesus is offering us this morning. The good food simply is putting your faith in Jesus, recognizing him as Lord. And once you do that, your focus is on that, the other things will be added unto you. They're not going to distract you. But right now, we have believers who are really, really, really distracted. We're distracted because we've got needs, legitimate needs. And then we focus our attention on it. And then we focus on how Jesus is going to provide those things for us. We focus on the bread side of things. And Jesus says, no, 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 you're getting it wrong. Recognize me as Lord and Savior. Talk to me. Find out what I actually want to do. Relate with me at a deeper level. The bread, of course, you always get the bread. The bread is not my issue, but if you live your life focusing on the bread, you will have lost out on having access to the eternal life. It reminds me of the story of a young boy as I round up this morning. This boy lived with his family, with his father, in a small country location. He had never seen a circus before. So he heard that there was a circus that was coming to town. The little boy was excited. He wanted to go. Approached his father and said, Dad, a circus is coming to town. I would like to go. Father said, look, I don't have any problem. Just make sure that you finish all your chores in the house. And then you are ready. You can set to go. Saturday morning, this boy woke up very early, you know, did all he needed to do, and then went to his dad. Dad, I've finished all of my chores. Can I go to see the circus now? And the father said, no problem. Handed over to him a dollar bill. This boy had never handled a dollar bill all his life prior to this time. So the boy, you know, took a train, you know, to town. And as he approached the town, he saw people lining up the street, you know, and the little boy was so excited. He had never seen anything like this before. This excited boy saw a clown, you know. It was the street parade, so the clown came around. He was so excited seeing the clown, and so he reached out down into his pocket and handed over to the clown the dollar bill, you know, in excitement. He thought he had already seen the circus. But what he had seen was just the parade, all right? The circus was going to take place later. The parade was in town to just kind of provide some level of awareness. Got back home. The father felt it was so soon. So what happened? What did you see? And by the time the boy was going to relate exactly what he saw and to whom he gave the dollar bill to, the father called him and said, I'm so sorry, son. You've been distracted. You're focused on the wrong thing. What you saw was the mere parade. The circus was going to take place much later. You know, when we focus on the perishing food, what can I get? What can I have? You know, what me, give me, mine, you know, all these other things. As legitimate as they are, they just rob us of the circus. We get distracted about this parade. We miss out on the big thing, the circus. And Jesus is saying, there is a better food. And the better food is to receive life from me. This life is only given to those who recognize me as their Lord and Master. Will you please come to that point where you recognize me and function in a way that shows that you know that I am the Lord of your life. I call the shot. I dictate the pace of things. I give instructions and direction. And when you do that, what then happens is that it gives you access to this great food called life that comes from me. And this life, it is an everlasting life. It has not just the length of days, it also has the quality of life that you desire. That's what, church, I'm calling you all to this morning. Let's go back to this great food, this good food, this beautiful food that the Lord has promised to everyone that will recognize him and, you know, function in that light that Jesus is in the Lord and the Master of our lives. He calls the church, he tells you exactly what you do, and you do it. You don't determine what you do. You know, I've heard people say, you know, whatever you makes you feel happy, do it. No, that's not the way it is in the kingdom. What makes you happy, Lord? Then that's what you do. That's making him the Lord and the Master. And that's what opens the channel of life, this eternal life that comes to us. It has both the quality of life, and of course, by extension, it has this great, marvelous promise of living with the Father even after this age, the time, and history is all over. Let us pray.